I don't know. And the bride's father was so completely inebriated, he spun around during the tarantella and knocked over the wedding cake.
Oh, wow.
And she was a bridezilla, though, so she deserved it. But, boy, that was inexperienced. That was memorable.
Hey, that's a great story. I'm moving on. Caller 2, you're on the air. What do you got for me?
Hey. Well, I got a story about before I moved to Brooklyn, back around 2005. I live in L.A. now, but I used to work in a bar booking punk rock bands. This is a dirty dive bar in Columbus, Ohio. And attached to that that bar was a restaurant built by my friends called the Taco Ninja. So I booked this night. I didn't know anything about the bands. They all show up. It turns out they're a bunch of white power dudes. Mm-hmm. Hardcore. And I've weighed 136 pounds for the last 30 years of my life. So, you know, I'm no, like, beast here. These guys show up and, you know, as it, you know, becomes revealed how white power they are and what they're about, you know, they're really just, like, little children, you know, have, like, this white power attitude. And they're rambunctious. They're not really causing any problems. You know, as the night goes on, the alcohol adds in. They do start getting rambunctious. So I'm I'm trying to, like, settle them down. You're like, guys, you know, we want you out of here. Things start to get, like, electrified a little bit. I'm there facing off with a group of hardcore white power dudes. I look over in the window at the Taco Ninja, the restaurant, and there's my cook, Todd. He's a drummer. His nickname is Beatloaf. I look over at him, and he's just been watching me face down these guys. And he pulls out his largest knife, and he's just tapping it on the counter behind the door. And I'm like, yeah. You know, and, like, after this night, you know, that's the night I got my name Ice. Todd nicknamed me Ice. Of course, I don't use that anymore. Now it goes full circle.
Well, I'm going to use it right now. Ice, I got to hop. I got 2 more calls and not enough time to take them all. Hey, you're on the air. What do you got for me?
Hey, so I'm from Indiana, so you're going to have to excuse me, but I worked at Denny's during college, worked at a German restaurant, and I work at a pizza place now. But my favorite prank of all time to a newbie training them, empty the hot tea water at the end of the shift. My favorite.
Okay. Well, it doesn't sound so tragic, but I guess.
Yeah, it's wholesome. They just sit there and hold a pitcher, and they keep letting the hot water run. They think it's going to stop, and it doesn't.
Oh, okay. Now I get it.
Yeah, it's a good initiation.
Good, clean fun. Good, clean American fun, yeah. Buddy. I love it.
You would be surprised how many people get so roused up on, like, a fun little joke.
Hey, it's all fun and games. We got another caller. Hey, what do you got for me?
Hi, I have a story about the restaurant crew that used to be at 9th Street and 5th Avenue. They've since closed, but they had some very expensive wine there. Wait, am I on the air?
You certainly are. We're
okay.
We're riveted to every word.
Okay, they used to have a 1982 Rothschild Lafite for $25,200. Now, ooh, they had a red wine list and a white wine list that were several, hundreds of pages long. So this was really high-end stuff, something like the fourth largest wine collection in North America. So I used to look at this. It was like viticultural pornography almost, to look at, you know, a $25,200 bottle of wine. So one day I noticed, I was there when I was making money, I noticed that wine was off the wine list. I called over the sommelier. I said, what's the story with the 82 Rothschild Lafite? And suddenly the expression on his face went blank. And I knew that something was wrong. I said, I'm not going to like this, am I? He said, no, you're not. It seems that some Wall Street types came in, must have been commission day or something. They ordered that bottle of wine. So he served it. And they were drinking. They were loud, boisterous people. They had a glass of Dos Equis beer. And one of them poured this priceless liquid into his Dos Equis beer just because he could. Mm. And I don't believe in the death penalty, but for that, they should have been killed.
Yeah, that's egregious. That is egregious. So in closing, I have the guy got me thinking about the pranks in the restaurant business, and I remember distinctly one of the pranks that was preyed upon me when I was a cook in a French restaurant was the lead cook would go up to you and say, go ask that guy how his sister's dancing lessons are. And you go up to the guy and ask him that. And he'd say, my sister has no arms or legs. I don't think that's funny. Dead air. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm Alan Harding. This is It Soup Yet?
His horn. And now we're going to have a little dash of Mississippi Conghetto.
Good evening, Starseed. This is the Music of Mind Control. My name is Micah. Here with you all summer long. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern, a little journey we take, you and I. New religious movements, cults, individuals of a mystical, inspired nature, and the sounds that come out of them. Just heard a hang drum meditation from Don World, or Don Hawk, or Don Yoga. Don World is a cult developed by holistic shaman Ichi Lee, a Korean holistic quack shaman, based on this concept of brainwave vibration, that you're supposed to shake your head numerous times in order to get the kinks out and attain a higher state of consciousness. And they have specific meditations, specific sounds that are supposed to accompany the shaking, the brain shaking, which is what we just heard. So we're going to move along, and I want to play some sacred songs from a cult that calls itself the Triatma Teachings, or Kathara. These are theoretical, metaphysical concepts based on the writings of Yasha Ashiana, who I think had some kind of out-of-the-body journey to another dimension and came back with all this sacred knowledge. The long dormant frequency spectra within the planetary Templar and within the biological templates of the planetary life field toward the objective of returning the organic, eternal creation, silver seed, crystar, core plasma flows and their eternal life ascension potentials to Earth. Sort of like a run-on sentence, but the whole website is like that. It's a lot of New Age word salad that I guess is supposed to impress us into passing this off as a sort of authentic metaphysical philosophy. So I guess she wrote all these books and established a little cult based on the sacred knowledge and the silver seed crystar core plasma flow. So they have their own music. They call them Sacred Sons, P-S-O-N-N-S. And we're going to hear a few right now from the Triatma teachings. No, the Tantri Ahura teachings of Kathara. I'll be right back.
son of Iridanus, Shadi.
There are places you can go, where the dreams you one day know are free. Starlight beaches in the night, heaven's made in silent harmony. Our communion is soon to come, our reunion that's just begun. And one day soon you'll find that we'll be together in a place called Om Shadi. An eternal waiting state of mind. Will you meet us in this place called Om Shadi? It's not far from here, step in time. From a place on heaven's shore, stand before the shrouded door and think of you. Just across the veil plain, the star will dance in mana rain. They laugh and they smile, but the cloak you wear reflects the light and leads you in an endless night. In one day soon you'll find you are free and living in a place called Om Shadi. An eternal place between the veils of time. The ever radiant soul flame of the state of Om Shadi. It's not far from here, a step in mine. It's not far from here, a step in time. It's not far from here, a step in
Song of Urtha, the Reign of Rama song.
It isn't easy in a world so filled with pain to go on smiling. Thank you. with the promise of a new day. Dry the tears upon your cheek.
Son of Ashalom.
Sunset glowing soft across the bay. Sometimes we can hear the ocean whispering sad songs across our minds. Close our eyes and see the moonlight shine on distant shores from the night. Ships in the night, we pass each other by. Never knowing how to build a bridge between us. Two islands alone in a sea of sky. The road has been long since you've traveled on your way. Sunset glowing soft across the bay, and our love shines like the moonlight across the bay.
Who knew that the sacred songs from the dimension of Kithara would sound just like the bonfires we had at summer camp back when I was a kid in 1981? It was like the exact same melodies. But I guess you never know what you're getting with the new age. Sacred Songs from the Kathara teachings based on the out-of-the-body experiences of Yasha Ashiana Anaya Kananda Melchizedek, also known as Anna Hayes. I guess she was probably one of my camp counselors because totally having flashbacks to summer of 81 at Hidden Valley Camp up in Freedom, Maine. Okay, being that this is the first day of the Mind Control Show of the summer schedule, thought I'd do something a little bit special, and decided to play another one of these old-time radio broadcasts from the Cult of Psychiana circa 1935 or so. Psychiana was a mail-order religion that was devised and developed by one Frank Robinson, a drugstore clerk who had some kind of vision in the drugstore. He had like a out-of-body drugstore experience, probably stocked up on some behind-the-counter stuff that he shouldn't have, and started Psychiana, a new thought religion based on the whole concept of the power of mind, that the power, the mind can control the elemental forces. Became hugely popular based on correspondence course model. Sort of like a Midwestern cottage industry, all from his hometown in the middle of nowhere, Moscow, Idaho, and had some really interesting ideas. Started a little radio broadcast from the Psychiana headquarters in which he would give these very mini lectures on all kinds of metaphysical concepts that were, I guess at the time, somewhat novel. So just recently found these. I want to play tonight an episode that is predicated on the idea of religious systems. So get set. Here is Frank B. Robinson from his headquarters in Moscow, Idaho, circa 1935. I'll be right back.
Again, we are to have the opportunity of hearing the voice of Dr. Frank Robinson in a discussion of a topic extremely important to all of us. Important because it is the thing which governs the daily life of the entire human race. I refer to religious systems, religious beliefs. Dr. Robinson is going to reveal some startling facts about those various beliefs, facts which will make every intelligent person stop and think. This in itself is unusual. For most religious systems, honest as they are, do not want people to think, do not want them to analyze and weigh facts. They come to us, to you and to me, and ask us to accept on faith, ask us to believe one story and only one story. They say to us, here, you must take this and believe it without question. Dr. Robinson makes no such demand. He is solely, entirely concerned with finding out the truth. And in so doing, he has discovered a spiritual law and the manifestation of God in that law, so clear, so plain, so logical that his philosophy has swept around the world, has made thousands of converts in every civilized country on the globe. Dr. Robinson calls his philosophy Sakyana. And surely such a man discussing such a tremendous subject is worth listening to. And here is your guide, ready to take you directly to Dr. Robinson's home in Moscow, Idaho.
Somehow, I always picture my arrival in Moscow, Idaho, as occurring in the evening. Sunset colors have faded in the west. Lights begin to twinkle through the gathering dusk. The pine-clad hills stand silhouetted against the calm evening sky. Up a little street, quiet and deserted now, we approach a home. Through the windows, there comes a gleam of golden light, and we see a man seated at the console of a pipe organ. Unconscious of the fact we are listening, his fingers caress the key. I compliment you, Dr. Robinson, on your rendition of that selection.
Well, I didn't know I had an audience. Come in, come in. Have a chair.
Thank you, Doctor. You know, somehow I can't get rid of the notion that breaking in on you this way is a downright intrusion.
Oh, nonsense. You're always welcome. You know that.
Even when I keep bothering you with questions?
It isn't any bother at all.
Well, there's one question that's been bothering me anyway. I'd like to have you answer it for me. I know you can.
Well, I'm not so sure that I can. I have never posed as being a walking encyclopedia or anything like that. But what is your question, and does it concern spiritual truth?
It is a question regarding religion which has been in my mind for some time. You know, Doctor, when I was a child, being born in a very religious home, I was taught that I was a guilty, lost sinner, unless I went through an experience called conversion. But I've never been able to understand the justice of my being condemned to eternal punishment through no fault of my own. Now that you see what I'm driving at, what is your opinion of this theory? Is it true, or is it not true?
Well, use your reason, and the question answers itself. And by the way, let me say to you that if the story of the fall of man is not true, then there is no need of a supernaturally revealed Savior to save him. And what we have had handed to us in the name of God is proven to be a myth and an unnecessary superstition.
I wish you would tell me where that story originated, Dr. Robinson, if you can.
Well, seeing that we're dealing with the Christian religion, let's go to the Christian Bible and see what it has to say on this subject. And by the way, if this story of the fall of man, according to the Bible, is not true, literally and word for word, then neither is the rest of it. For this book called the Bible is either the divinely inspired word of God, absolutely true from cover to cover, or it is nothing of the kind. And we had better find out. People today are hungry for the truth, but instead of being given the truth, they have been given pagan superstition to such a degree that they are sick and tired of it, and consequently are not interested in the story told in the name of God by religious organizations today. These religious organizations do not like me, but they are not able to refute anything I say. All I am after is that the true picture of God be given to men and women, and all pagan fairy stories be absolutely discarded.
Well, you think that the fall of man is a pagan myth or a fairy story, do you, Dr. Robinson?
As I said before, let's see what the Bible has to say about it. The first chapter of Genesis gives us the account of the creation of man. And in a nutshell, it is something like this. We are told that God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nose the breath of life. Then he caused sleep to fall upon this man and took a rib from him and made a woman. He put this first couple in a garden and gave certain instructions to them and went away and left them there. Then there entered into the picture one of the most fantastic creatures in the form of a talking snake who engaged this first man and woman in conversation. And the result of that conversation was that God placed a curse upon this couple he had made, and that curse has been there ever since. In other words, this beautiful creation of God, by listening to a talking snake, very effectively sealed its own doom. And not only that, but sealed the doom of every created being from that time to this. Now, do you believe that?
Well, Doctor, I would not be honest with myself if I said I did believe it, because it does not appeal to my reason as being true.
And neither does it appeal to millions of other thinking Americans either. As a matter of fact, the story is not true. It is an old, anonymous pagan teaching held by other religions long before Christ was ever heard of.
What's that you said, Dr. Robinson? Do you mean to tell me that other religions before the Christian religion knew that story?
I certainly do.
Well, Doctor, will you tell me one of them?
All right. Listen. The Hindu Bible, which teaches that the Savior of the world was Krishna instead of Christ, and by the way, note the similarity between those two names, it teaches us that the first man and woman were Adamo and Eva, which are practically the same thing as Adam and Eve. It has its story of the serpent and the fall of man. So you see that instead of this story of Adam and Eve being original, it was known to millions of people who were in another religion long before Christ ever appeared on the scene.
This certainly is interesting, Dr. Robinson. Why don't the religion, or the religious organizations of today, I should say, tell us about these things?
Well, that is easy to answer, for as I said before, if you blow up the story of the fall of man, with it you blow up the need of a crucified Savior. For if the story of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden is not true, then neither is the story of a crucified God coming to redeem man true either. Is that logical?
Yes, it certainly is, and I think you are doing a wonderful work in telling American people what the truth actually is. I do not imagine the church people like this doctrine, though.
Well, I do not care whether they like it or not. I am not interested in what anyone likes. I am only interested in telling American men and women and children what the actual truth is concerning this thing called the church and the philosophy it comes with us today. Next time, if you like, I will tell you something about this book called the Bible, and we will see whether it is the divinely inspired word of God or not.
Well, I certainly will be here early, Doctor, because I am one of those thinking Americans who wants the truth, and I can readily understand how those teaching this orthodox religious story hate you.
Well, you know, one of the old Bible writers said that if any man taught any other doctrine than theirs, he should be accursed. And I imagine that is the way many of them feel today. But we still have a constitution in the United States, and I happen to be an American. And just as long as I am able to, I shall fearlessly put the other side of the story on the bar of human judgment with the church's story, and then let Americans make up their own minds whether the story is true or false.
Well, Doctor, that certainly is an unusual procedure. Most prophets of religion...
Now, wait a minute. I'm not setting myself up as a prophet or anything of that sort. I'm just an ordinary fellow who's done a little serious thinking and found out that what I have discovered is true because it works for me and for thousands of other people.
Yes, and you're something else, too. You're a mighty fine musician.
Oh.
And if we have a few minutes left, I'd like to hear you play Pale Moon.
Why, I'll be glad to. Let's see. Pale Moon. Oh, yes. It goes like this.
In closing this broadcast, I'd like to repeat something that Dr. Robinson has just said. I shall fearlessly put the other side of the story on the bar of human judgment with the church's story, and then let Americans make up their own minds whether the story is true or false. It is for you to decide. And if Dr. Robinson has discovered a spiritual law which is God, a law which, properly understood and used, can do here and now the things which Orthodox belief can only promise to do in the future after you die, isn't it just plain common sense to find out about it? And you can do just that by simply writing a postcard and without obligating yourself in any way. Just write to Dr. Robinson and say, "Send me the free outline of your philosophy." Address your postcard to Dr. Frank Robinson, care of the station to which you are listening, or to Dr. Frank Robinson, Radio Department, Moscow, Idaho. Include in your Moscow, Idaho address the words Radio Department, so that your postcard will not get mixed up with the tremendous mail from Dr. Robinson's students.
The Age of Aquarius did not begin at Haight-Ashbury or at Woodstock. It started in Moscow, Idaho. I think it died there too. The iconoclastic wisdom and teaching of Frank Robinson, a mail order religion, Psyche Anna, from one of his radio broadcasts, syndicated all around the U.S. Okay, we're going to move along with some music from the Book of Urantia, courtesy of Michael Duncan. Book of Urantia, if you don't know, another Midwestern New Age mystery. brought to us by an extraterrestrial thought adjuster that took control of a sleeping prophet that was not Edgar Cayce, some other one, in Chicago in the early part of the 20th century, and reimagined the New Testament as a sci-fi cosmological remake of some epic Bible story in outer space. So Michael Duncan is calls himself a reverend. I guess he is a follower or teacher of the Book of Urantia, reinterpreting the cosmological sci-fi teachings. Through musical rendition. I'll be right back.
Life is precious. Life, life, life is precious. Hey, have you heard about the culture of life? Lift up your mind, embrace the culture of life. Life, life, life is precious. Life, life, life is precious. Life, 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 life. Culture of life. Life, 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 life. Universe, brothers and sisters, united in love, from the lowest creature to the highest God above. Hate not, harm not, kill not, nurture everybody, everything on earth. Happiness, peace will come to you, a new golden age, a new rebirth. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Hey, have you heard about the culture of life? Lift up your mind, embrace the culture of life. Be the one to start a new revolution, positive direction, brand new start. Personal and global transformation, the love of life in every heart. Yeah, 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 life. life, life continues, life, life, life after life, culture of life, 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 life after life. We're all universe, brothers and sisters, united in love. From the lowest creature to the highest God above. We live and move and have our being within the many levels of deity. Together we grow, we help each other, a beautiful life eternally. Go on our spiritual journey, ascending through the spheres of time and space, material Marantia, spirit realms, paradise, the perfect place. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, have you heard about the culture of life? Lift up your mind, embrace the culture of life. Life, life, life continues. Life, life, life continues. Life, life, life. After life, culture of life, 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 after life. Life, life, life is precious, and life, life, life continues, life, life. Life is precious and life, life, life
continues. Gonna have that song played at my funeral or my suicide, not sure which. Both. Michael Duncan, Culture of Life. A musical interpretation from the sixth revelation of the Book of Urantia. We're going to hear from the Word of Faith Fellowship. Some good old American old time religion. Word of Faith began in 1979. From Jane Whaley, who was a math teacher, converted a former steakhouse into a chapel and eventually became a mind control cult. Followers do not celebrate birthdays or holidays because they are pagan, just like Frank Robinson said. They do not eat in restaurants that serve alcohol. Men and women must swim with shirts covering their upper bodies, cannot take them off in public, including their own backyards. Men cannot grow beards. I guess there's no hipsters in Word of Faith. Followers are not allowed to enroll in college and without permission, and if granted, can only attend alongside other members so their behavior can be monitored. You need permission to buy a house or a car, and tithing adds up to 10% of the gross earnings. So we're going to hear some of their joyous celebration of whatever it is they're about. And that will take us to the top of the hour. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org.
The crowds have lined the narrow street to see this man from Galilee. Just a carpenter, some say, leading fools astray. Yet many knew to give him praise. And his eyes, they pierced the crowd. And as we call upon your name, your strength through weakness to show, we can know the Master's plan, extend the Master's hand when we come in the name of the Lord. There is strength. Trials that seem hard to bear. Sometimes we don't know which way to go. When we don't know what to do, we turn our eyes to you and we seek your face. And as we humble ourselves before you, you down the right path. You reveal to us your will, your plan and purpose for our lives. You give us strength to endure to the end.
Ugh.